I speak about an interesting topic, which I found interesting, it's something which Rabbi Shimshon HaFol Hirsch points out at the end of Parshas Truma, when he's discussing the Mizbeach. The Torah says that there's a halacha in the construction of the Mizbeach, it has to be ravua, it has to be square. And he points out an interesting point that in the Mishkan, everything was the shapes of the Mishkan were predominantly square. Right, the Mizbeach had to be square, both Mizbechot had to be square, the Choshen had to be square, everything else was either a rectangle, everything was a rectangle or square. There were very few circles in the Mishkan. Right, the Mishkan itself was a rectangle, everything was very angular, very modern. And he points out, it's interesting, that in nature it's the opposite. In nature, predominantly, you find circles. You almost don't find squares, a natural square. In actual fact, this is Rav Shimshon Hirsch doesn't actually say that it's from Chazal, and it's Yadua that even though he didn't write his Makoros, but they have the notebooks from which he prepared the Pirush on Chumash, yes, and over there it's full of quotes from Chazal, from Zohar. There's a lot of Zohar, even though he pretends not to be interested in Kabbalah, but there's a lot of quotes from Zohar, and so often he doesn't write his Makor, but it's clear that the Makor for this Rav Shimshon Hirsch, that there are no squares in nature, it's a Yerushalmi, it's a Tosefta at the end of Maestros. The Tosefta at the end of Maestros says, Ein meruba b'maisa bereishis. There are no squares in the creation, in nature. It's Yerushalmi in the Dorim, which the Ram in the Dorim, Daf Chofeh Amud Aleph quotes, also says, Ein meruba b'maisa bereishis. There's a discussion in the Yerushalmi, when there is, when there isn't. But it's definitely true. You look around, you'll only see circles. The sun is considered a perfect sphere. You blow a bubble, right? It'll make a sphere. Squares, very, very rare. If you do some quick research, you'll find very, very interestingly, it's also very rare. The scientists also write this very rare. There are certain crystals which are square. For instance, salt crystals are square. It's very rare. Very interestingly, lobster eyes, you won't believe me, but lobster eyes, part of the channels inside the eye have a square shape. And it's not a Purim joke, but wombat droppings are also, even though when you go, you're outing in the field and you see the animal droppings, they're always round. But oddly enough, wombat droppings, that's an Australian marsupial, they are actually square, and the scientists are still trying to work out why they do it and how they do it. But anyway, a wombat is an Australian animal. It's an Australian, yeah, you go to Australia, they let you in now, and you can find them there. Yeah. Anyway, but we're not going into that. There are some who discuss why there can be some exceptions. We're not going into that. But predominantly, as Shimshon HaFol Hirsch says, as the Tosefta says, Ein meruba b'maisa bereishis. So we have a contrast here. On the one hand, the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, was squares, squares, squares all the way. Tefillin, actually, Shimshon HaFol Hirsch is also in Jewish symbolism in the collected writings. He also, when he speaks about tefillin, he also points out that tefillin are square. Mitzvahs generally like the square shape, whereas nature always goes to the round. Before we bring his explanation, I'd just like to elaborate on other places where you find this idea. There's a fascinating Sefer HaIkrim. The Sefer HaIkrim was one of the Sefer on Ikrei Emunah, written by one of the Rishonim, Rabbi Yosef Alboy. And in his Hakdama to Sefer HaIkrim, he writes that he's discussing that the Chochma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the Bria. And he says a very interesting idea. He says, you don't find natural shapes in nature, very rarely. There are some exceptions. And one of the exceptions, he says, is the cells in a honeycomb, the bee, when it creates the cells in the honeycomb, it makes them into a hexagon shape, yeah. Right? As we all know. So he said this is a special chokhma, because really, if they would make circles, they could make circles in the cells of the honeycomb, but then they would lose space in between the cells in the honeycomb. If you try to put circles together, you'll always have a little bit of a space in between them. Whereas hexagons, they can fit exactly together. It's called a tessellate in mathematics. It's called a tessellate when they fit exactly together. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu especially gave the bees, says the Sefer HaIkrim, the chokhmah to make hexagons in order they shouldn't lose any space in between their cells. But then he adds a fascinating thing. He says, really, the bees could make squares as well. Squares also fit exactly together. So why did they have to make hexagons? He says, no, really in the Bria, everything is circles, right? And naturally, everything should be a circle. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the bee the chokhmah to make a hexagon, a square is further away from a circle than a hexagon is. So a square is more unnatural, more against the teva. It's more of a square would be more of a chiddush than a hexagon, because a hexagon shape is closer to a circle shape. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the bee a chokhmah to make a proper shape, but only a hexagon, not a square.
Hexagon inside is rounded.
Well, what? I mean,
inside is rounded.
What, in a bee thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, could be. Okay, we'll have to check. Okay. There's also an interesting nafkimin al halacha from this idea. There's a Mishnah in Kilayim. The Mishnah in Kilayim is halacha of Kilei Kerem. If you have a vineyard, you mustn't grow other things inside a vineyard. So the Mishnah in Kilayim Perek Hei discusses, if you've got something called a Shemira, it's like a hill which they used to make an artificial mound inside the vineyard for the Shomer, for the guard, to the watchman to stand on top. It was called a Shemira, not a Shomer. So you've got this hill in the middle of your vineyard. Are you allowed to grow other things on top of this Shemira? Is it considered a separate area from the rest of the vineyard that you should be allowed to grow over there? Says the Mishnah, a Shemira, as long as it's 10 tvachim high, 4 tvachim across, it's fine. Okay. Comes along the Rambam, he brings this Mishnah. Yes, if you've got this watchman's hill, and it's 10 tvachim high, 4 tvachim wide, it's considered a separate area, you're allowed to grow on it. You're allowed to grow other things on it, and it's not considered kilayim with the rest of the surrounding vineyard. Says the Rambam, based on the Yerushalmi, Bamed Mamamurim Bamurubaas. If this hill is square, whereas if this hill is round, then the halachas are different. It has to have a halal, there are more conditions there. I'm the Rambam. It's more strict. If the hill is round, then it's got stricter halachas. And it's very unclear why. The Mufrashim all try to say different things. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, Hilchas Kilayim, Simon Reish Tzadivov, he says a very interesting thing. He says, he brings the other Mufrashim explanations as to why a round Shemira should be more chomor than a square one. But he says, to him it would seem that the pshat in this Yerushalmi, the Rambam, is based on our Tesefta. Since Ein Meruba B'maisa Bereishis, a square is an unnatural shape. Nature only gives round things. Therefore, if you build your hill in a square shape, then it's very noticeable. It's nikkah. Uh-huh. It's a man-made object, and therefore the halachas are more lenient. As long as it's 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, then already it's not part of the field. It's not part of the vineyard. Whereas if you make it round, and round is a natural shape, it could just be part of the field. Therefore, to make it distinct from the field, it's got more strict halachas. That's just enough Kimura la halacha, a very interesting Aruch HaShulchan's explanation, which brings in this idea into halacha. There's another interesting area where this comes up, which is the great Luchos debate. I'm sure you've all heard. You know, I don't know if you know that traditionally the Luchos were always drawn around at the top, right? And for hundreds of years, you've got shuls hundreds of years old where the Luchos are round.
Do
they have Luchos over here?
No. On either side.
Oh, right. Oh, yes. So here they're round, right? This is actually the traditional way that they were made round. But the problem is, if you look in the Gemara in Bava Basra, when the Gemara discusses the size of the Luchos, it's quite... The Gemara says that they were 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim, amma by amma, and therefore they seem to be square. And if you look at all the modern Sforim, they will tell you clearly that they were square. So it's an old shaila what to do. You'll see some shuls make them square, some shuls make them round. It's really a shaila, you know, those who like to go with the Masorah and tradition, they'll generally do round. Those who like, you know, it's a square, you know. Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal, he always used to say that, of course they were square, but the minig was always through them round, because the luchos are like the lev of Klal Yisrael, the heart of Klal Yisrael, and this is a general heart shape, and that's what he always used to say, that the luchos are the lev of Klal Yisrael. So that was his explanation. But I saw a tshuva in Eben Yisrael. That's the tshuva of Yisrael Yaakov Fisher. He was one of the rabbis in Yerushalayim. So someone wrote to him a shaila that they brought out a safe, I don't know if you know the old Aleph-based book to the kids called the Masoros. It was an old Aleph-based book, which was actually very, very well used. I got one at home. And the fellow had brought it out, had drawn the luchos at the front round. He had a picture of the luchos at the front, and we're round. And this fellow was very upset. He said, it's not accurate, the luchos were square. And so Rishon Rakevisha writes back, he thinks that this fellow is right, that the luchos were round. And he brings the most interesting proof. He says, we know that the Tosefta says that Ein Meruba B'Maisa Bereishis, there was nothing square in Maisa Bereishis. Now, when were the luchos made? If you look at the Mishnah in Ovis, Perik Hay, it says that Asara Dvam Nivru Ere Shabbat Benesh Moshe, the last things which were created in Maisa Bereishis, the whole list of 10 things, and one of them were the luchos. And it says Ein Meruba B'Maisa Bereishis. So how could the luchos be square? It's like a fascinating proof. Oh, so maybe both luchos together. The first and the second. I did, right, yes, good. I did see that some want to say that the first luchos, someone wants to suggest that the first luchos were round and the second was square, but it's difficult. The Pasuk says, Psalachos shin luchatam korishoinim, you should make them like the first one, so that would be a difficult theory. But that's what we saw in Rakus Fisher. He wants to suggest, even though the Gemara says it was Vav Tvachim, was six Tvachim, but it doesn't mean that top can't be rounded. But anyway, that's his proof that the Luchas couldn't have been square because they made the Maisa Bereishis, and Maisa Bereishis does not have squares. Now to get back to Rishon Shavuot Hirsch, that was just a few examples of that idea of Emeru Maisa Bereishis, but what exactly is the meaning behind it? What's the meaning behind it? That in nature everything is round, and in mitzvahs, and in the Beis HaMikdash, Mishkan, everything was square. So he said a very interesting idea. He said, if you think about it, why are things in nature round? Why are they round? He says, the idea is very simple. A circle is very easy to make. You start off at a center point, and you spread out equally in all directions. You'll end up with a circle. It doesn't take a lot of control and working out to make a circle. The reason why you blow a bubble, it becomes a circle, is because there's no reason for it to push out in one direction more than any other direction. It will naturally become a circle, right? If you have a force which is just left to itself, then the only shape it will make is a circle. Because it just spreads equally in every direction. An unrestricted force, just left to itself, will automatically make a circle. A square, or any regular shape, shows that someone's come with his bechira, and he's controlled the forces of nature, and pushed it like that, till there, and he's limited the forces of nature to a specific gvulim, and that creates a square, or a rectangle, or a hexagon, whatever it is. Nature makes a circle. The Teva makes a circle. The Baruch Hashem created the world with kochos, which are unrestricted, and they can just go on. They can spread forever. The job of a man is to in this world, his avoda is to come to this world and to be kovish the Teva, and to direct it for the avoda Hashem into the places where it's supposed to go. Till here, yes. Till there, not. Further on, not. And that is a square. The Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan, represented the place of Avodah Sa'odam, the Kabonus, where a person takes this world and he does what the Rebbe wants him to do in this world and to control the koichos of this world, and that's represented by the square and the rectangle. So by him, that's why Teva is always a circle, and Avodah Hashem. About tefillin, also that's why he's marich in tefillin. Also, that tefillin are a bias; they're called bottom for it's a bias for Hashem, and that's why it has to be square. It's very interesting. It just hit me that if you look in the human body, I think there's many proper shapes in the human body, but there is a circle in the human body somewhere, which is not a perfect circle.
The eye.
Yeah. The eye is a perfect circle, and it's very interesting, and. Maybe the reason is that, as we say in Shem Shafan Hirsch's idea, that a circle represents unrestricted koichos and no control. The eye, as is Yadua, is the most difficult thing in the body to control, right? It said all the Avodah Shmir Seinayim, and it's something which, once the eyes are open, it's impossible to squash them into a square. As the Sefer Chassidim says, the only Shmira for the eye is Atzimah Seinayim. The only shmira is to actually close them. We have eyelids for a reason, because once the eyes are open, they're a circle. They're unfettered, they're unrestricted. If you want to control the eye, you have to close it. Very interesting. Very interesting. It's an interesting idea. It could be the Osir Lavoi, we won't need the, maybe, yes? No, it's not our Avoida anymore. Very nice, very nice.
What
about, the Osid Lavoi, there will be a circle. The Kodesh Baruch is going to make a mochoy at the tzaddikim.
It's going back in again.
Yes.
What about the kiyor?
Interesting, yes, the kiyor, yeah, I thought someone might ask that. The kiyor, how do you know the kiyor was round?
The menorah.
How do you know the kiyor was round? I know the pictures draw it round, yeah. But there definitely was no halacha that it should be round. It's not mentioned in the Torah, make it round, right? Yes, it is interesting. But again, so it must be a reason. If it was round, it must be a reason. Yom Shlim was round. Yeah, there must be a reason. But again, it didn't seem the Torah should be round. And yeah, yes. Menorah also, but I mean, it's not clear if it was so machlokes. Might be a. The Rambam draws it straight. Yes. Yeah, but again, there was no halacha. There was no halacha that'd be round. Yes. Okay, again, Rosh Hashanah says predominantly everything was square. And in nature, predominantly everything is round. Another area where this comes up is a very, very interesting tchum in halacha. It's not really halacha, this, but as you know, about 170 years ago, the machine matzahs started being produced. Right, till then, till about 170 years ago, all matzahs were handmade. Right, and then about 170 years ago, someone came up with a bright idea: we're going to make machine matzahs. And it caused a massive debate. I think we realize nowadays, what do you eat? You eat your hand, you eat machine, okay, very nice. But in those days it was a revolution, and it split the Gedolim of Europe. There were half on one side, half on the other side, and you read their chubas, it was like a war. Sorry, pun, but anyway. There were many concerns. Reb Shlomo Kluger was one of the main ones who Rish Haloichamim against the machine matzahs, and he wrote a pamphlet called Moidah LeBeis Yisrael, to inform Klal Yisrael of the problems of the new machine matzahs. So the main problems were halachic. That means there's problems with the lishma. There's chametz problems, especially the early machines. There were a lot of chametz problems. But there's another interesting problem which he points out. It was very interesting, as follows. He said the machine matzahs are square, and the minig in Klal Yisrael was always to have round matzahs. That's what he says. Interesting. It's not, again, not a halachic thing, but he said that the minig in Klal Yisrael was to have round matzahs. Now, the reason why the machine matzahs are square is it's interesting. Originally, the machine matzahs they used to make round as well. That means they didn't have such like conveyor belts that we have like, nowadays. The machine just used to produce a flat dough, and afterwards, they were cut. The matzahs, they would cut the matzahs round and put them in the oven. That was the original way. But if you do that, you have a problem because you've got all the leftover dough. As we said, when you make circles, you have in the middle. So originally, they used to take that dough and just put it in the bowl again for the next batch. Right? And that would make massive problems because you've got that dough has been there much too long. Yeah, or you're 18 minutes. So there was big problems, and they... that's why they stopped doing that, because that already was going too far. So they started making square matzahs. That way, you have nothing in between, no problem. So comes along with Shlomo Kluger and says that no, the minhag in Klal Yisrael is to make round, and whatever the reason is round, we don't change. The Shoel HaMeishiv, Yosef Shoel Natanzon, one of the other Gdolim of that era, he brought out a pamphlet. Answering all of the Shlomo Kluger's questions, called Bittul HaModah, to be Mevatel, the Modah LeBeis Yisrael. And then he goes through all the timers. And on this timer, he says, no, he's not worried about the minhag to have round. He says, there's no specific minhag to have round, just that's the most convenient way. You make your pita breads round. It's just a normal way to make bread. There's no specific minhag to make them round. He says, there's a minhag on, he brings a minhag on to make. The lechem on Shavuos, he brings a minhag to make them square. Okay, we'll get to that. So he says there's no such minhag. And actually, there are some other tshuvas which deal with this Indian. Is there a minhag to make them round? On the one hand, you have a tshuva of Mahari Asad, Yehuda Asad, I think it's Simon Kuf Nun Zayin, where there he goes through the different reasons why matzahs should be round. He says, first of all, the Torah describes matzahs as ugois matzois. And he's got an arichas to say that the word ugois, it means round, like og ugo, says bachoni am agel, og ugo, he drew a circle around himself, right? So the fact that the Torah said ugois matzois, why does it have to be round? He says maybe he says a number of reasons why it must be round. We know that round is the shape of avelus. Like we know that Rashi says that's why Yaakov Avinu served the lentils. He's eating lentils because they're round, and eggs. That's right. They're round because avelus. And we know that first night of Pesach, a lot of people are willing to have eggs because it's the same as Tisha B'Av, and therefore it's avelus. That's why he's got one tzad that the matzah should be round. He's got another tzad that they're called lechem oini. Matzahs are called lechem oini, it's a poor man's bread, and the galgal of anius in the world, we know that anius, the Gemara says, is a galgal, it's a wheel of fortune which goes in the world, and that's why the lechem oini has to be round. In actual fact, I saw that Rabbi Yehuda says that's why money is always, the coins are always round. You have the Israeli shekel now, something, the 10 shekel or something, but generally coins around, because also to the galgal of anius, to remind us always not to be too batuach in our money. But that's what Rabbi Yehuda asked. He says that matzahs have to be round. On the other hand, I saw the Shimon Sofer, the grandson of the Chasm Sofer, the son of the Ksav Sofer, he's got a tshuva called Hisoros HaTshuva, and there he writes very strongly that no, matzahs is fine to be square. He says not only they're fine to be square, he thinks square is better than round matzahs. Square matzahs are better than round matzahs. Because he says, you find that Kosh Baruch Hu, in the Torah, we always like squares, right? He says that the Mizbechos were square, the Choshen was square, the Tefillin are square. A square is a shape which is chaviv by mitzvahs, and therefore, forget, it's a nice thing to do square matzahs. I saw that the Chemed writes, also he brings from Zichron Yosef, that there's a milam doing square matzahs because the lechem upon him on the Shulchan, the Gemara says, we're square, right? So if they were square, why can't we make our matzahs square? So we have here, on one hand, we have the Shlomo Kluger and the Yehuda Asad, Maria Asad, who are championing the old round matzahs, and we have the Sholem Meshiv and the Shimon Sofer, who they say that square matzahs are fine, or even a mila. As the Shimon Sofer says, all the mitzvahs are done with squares. So the Chayra, just to fit in the drush of what we've been discussing, the Chayra, Rabbi Shimon Sofer and Rabbi Shimon Meshav are right. Mitzvahs are always square. Why don't we do it square? He's saying the Lechem Aponim was square. But if thinking about it, maybe we can yashav, we can explain the old minhag to make them round. According to Rabbi Shimon Sofer's explanation, we can explain why the old matzahs were always a minhag to make them round. I'd like to suggest the explanation. The matzahs, why do we have matzahs on Pesach? It says, kibichipozon yotosim in Mitzrayim. That's always very interesting. It seems to be one little detail of the Gula that they went out in a rush. What's so important about the fact they went out in a rush, that our whole Pesach is based on this one nekuda that they went out in bichipozon? There's lots of other things you can make a zecha for. Why is this hurry, this rush, this haste so important? So, Rabbi Shimon Sofer Hirsch, in Parshas Bo, he speaks about it, and he says a very interesting point. He says, The chipazon of Mitzrayim, the rush was to show that the Klal Yisrael were not involved in the Geula. Klal Yisrael did not save themselves from Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved them. Right? They were not involved, they did not take them out of Mitzrayim. Everything was Isarusa de Le'ila, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking them out of Mitzrayim, nothing to do with the Klal Yisrael's own Hishtadlus. And that's what we have to remember, that's what the chipazon reminds us. If you take yourself out, then you can do it at your own speed. If someone else whisks you out, then it's going to go fast. The chipazon shows on the fact that the Geula happened totally by Kodesh Baruch Hu, Isarusa de Le'ela, nothing to do with us. So according to this, I think it's very geschmack why the matzahs were always round. Because as we explained from Rav Hirsch, that the square shows on human involvement. Circle shows on unrestricted koichos, which you have not controlled. So if I get, because it's Yitzias Mitzrayim, was something which we would definitely want to show, they were bechepozin also. You had no involvement in it. You were not in control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu whisked you out without you doing a single thing. It wasn't your koichi v'otzimadi which took you out of Mitzrayim. And therefore, specifically, it could be they had always had, maybe that was a symbolism of the round matzahs, is to to remind us that the Yetzias Mitzrayim had nothing to do with our own kochos and our own avoda. If I get with the Sarusa de Le'ela. Thank you very much.
Yes. 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 Yes.